Principle number 8 is how to deal with resistance. Now, every one of us has resistance, and we got resistance at every level. But what I want to do is just have you look at a different model just for a second. In weight training, which now we know thanks to Oprah Winfrey, everybody's got to do weight training, whether you're male or female, because if you don't use it, you lose it. And what we learn in resistance or weight training is that you get strong against resistance. If there's no resistance, you get weak and you get wobbly and you get osteo and all kinds of terrible stuff.
Every resistance is an assistance because it assists us in getting stronger.
Well, let me add on it. Every resistance is an assistance if you have the internalized persistence to have the greatest of all existence. How's that? I want to tell you a story about a gentleman that I'm almost as close to as I am to Jack. This is the world's greatest marketer. This is a guy who's a fractal thinker, a creative man, a one of a kind. And we share a birthday in common on January 8th with Elvis Presley, and every year either I go to his party or he comes to my party. We're on each other's A party list. Now, the story from my friend Jay Abraham is called Don't Lose Your Cool. Jay says, my dad died unexpectedly between Christmas and New Year's. I called U.S. Air and got 8 tickets at a bereavement rate. When I got to the airport, we had to stand in line for 3 hours. When we finally got to the counter, we were told the flight was canceled because they couldn't get an aircraft there. I remember reading an article that said if you have a confirmed ticket, there was a problem with the flight, and you had the right to compel them to buy you another ticket on another airline. But if you didn't ask for it, they didn't have to do it. The next plane was available was TWA, and it wasn't for 3 more hours, and it was on the other side of the terminal. Those people who don't know the Los Angeles airport, it's a mass of shuttles. You've got to get to another shuttle, and it'll take about a half hour because it's about a mile and a half around the corner. You can't walk it. And when you have 8 people, now Jay has got 8 children and a wife, you probably got 12 pieces of paraphernalia. You've got to actually rent a shuttle to do it. You can't get on a regular shuttle. I had to rent a shuttle just to get from here to there. But I was still in line, and I said, so just because it's canceled, what are you going to do about it? And then I shut up. We had a standoff. The woman said, it's your responsibility to book another. I said, why? And I shut up again. She said, because it's canceled. I was very polite, but I kept saying, why is it my problem? She kept saying, because the equipment is canceled. I said, well, fine. Please put in writing the fact that I had confirmed tickets, your equipment couldn't make it, and you told me you had no obligation or right to buy me a ticket and have your supervisor sign it too. And I waited. She said, but all these people are waiting in line. I said, who cares? There's no other equipment for 3 hours. What are they going to do? We had a very polite standoff. To make a long story short, they bought us 8 tickets on TWA. So we shuttle over to TWA. And it's a nightmare because they have a little 727 and they have a canceled flight that they're trying to squeeze all the other passengers onto. The flight people are pulling their hair out. But we asked them, because we had all these kids, would you try to get us seats together, please? They assured us they would try and that they might have to do it after we got on because it was a nightmare. We had 8 seats and none of them were together. So we get on finally, and the first seat we come to is on a bulkhead. We ask the flight attendant to ask the man who's on the outside aisle if he would relinquish his seat and trade with one of us. He looked at us indignantly and said, absolutely not. I've reserved this seat 6 weeks ago, and I'm not going to give it up. I travel a lot, and I need to relax. I started getting livid, and my wife started laughing. I'm looking at her and thinking, what's wrong with this picture? She sees something I don't. Christy is just so special. She is so effervescent. She bent down, took the car seat, fastened the car seat into the seat next to the man, put our 6-month-old baby in it, looked at the man, handed him the baby bottle and said, if the baby cries a little, give him this. If he cries a lot, try this. She gave him the diapers, the baby wipes, and left. In that minute, I realized it wasn't our problem. It was his. It's how you look at life. And if we realize we don't have a problem, the other people do. And in that instant, I saw the whole picture change.
Part of dealing with resistance is being gracious when you accept a no and not burning your bridges. Because what happens is a lot of times we have to go back to the same people. We go back to the same people repeatedly. Sometimes next means not going to another person, but coming back to the same person. So when you get a no, you could do the following kind of things. You could send a note saying, thank you for at least considering me. I know people that send birthday cards to people who've told them no, but they know they're going to have to go back to later. They keep in touch with them and communicate with them regularly. They create a relationship over time so that the next time they have to go back and ask, there's a relationship built up, there's some rapport, and they have a better chance. Another thing is to ask for feedback. What would it take to have gotten a yes? What didn't I do that I needed to do in order for you to say no? What would have to happen to get a yes from you next time? Don't burn your bridges. Build those relationships. You never know when that person can be useful to you in the future.
We're talking about overcoming resistance that doesn't have to stay there if you just are a little more creative, a little more thoughtful, a little more inventive. We have a friend, Bill Goh, who's now a great speaker and he's 87 years old, but his whole life he is the number one salesman at 3M Corporation out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. And he did so many innovative things that you just can't believe it. But I just want to give you two. He'd go in to sell somebody like Dan, and Dan would kick him out because he was having a bad day or whatever. And he'd immediately write him a picture postcard and said, "Dear Dan, that is one of the most memorable meetings I've ever had. I look eagerly forward to getting you on a day when you're happy, positive, and a little bit more buoyant, uplifted, and have a better outlook in friendship, Bill Goh. P.S. Look forward to helping your company make hundreds of thousands of dollars next year," and then he'd highlight it in purple. Well, he'd get it the next day and go, "Whoa, maybe I made a mistake." And he said half the time the people would call back. Now, if he did a good deal, he'd say, "Congratulations on being such a wise investor and doing such a good job for your company and getting all this." And remember, everybody remembers the P.S., so write some P.S. and then highlight it in purple, which is the highest spiritual color. The other thing, when he couldn't get into Mr. or Ms. Big, which we've talked about, the final person to make that quality decision on our behalf and their behalf and their company's behalf, what he always did is when he got to the airport, for just a few dollars, he'd buy a $10,000 or $100,000 life insurance flight policy and make that secretary the beneficiary and put it in the mail right before he flew out. He said every time he came back, because that secretary had a $100,000 policy that cost him like $10 of flight insurance, he got the appointment 100% of the time. All it takes is just little levels of uniqueness, little innovativeness. And the deal is innovate, create, be unusual, be a little different, and create your marquee value.
See, what we've given you here is a recipe to become unstoppable. If you put all of these principles together in your life and practice these ideas on something that's coming up in your life, let's say in the next 30 days, whether it's to buy a car or to ask for a raise or to make that big sale you need or to ask someone you're attracted to out for a date, if you put these principles into action, you're going to be amazed at the result you get. Imagine what would happen if you were to ask with conviction and a positive expectation. If you were to ask someone who cares to give it to you and someone who's capable of giving it to you, if you were to be clear and specific in your request and ask from your heart, if you asked with humor and creativity, looked forward to the no's, asked repeatedly, never gave up, were tenacious, and never lost your cool, that would be a guaranteed formula that would make you unstoppable. Now go out there and ask.